Well, that's it. We've run out of the introductions. All right, well, that's down to Mission Impossible 1. And we got no more clips to show you, but we have been showing you these clips just to encourage you as you explore and grow in your understanding of what it means to live a life that's guided by mission, and particularly a cosmic mission, a mission that would come from the Father himself. And I just want to thank you for your feedback. The greatest encouragement you can give me through this series is to take it seriously and do your homework. Because unless we actually spend the time working through the issues, it's not going to make a lot of difference in our lives. And over the last 4 weeks after introducing the topic, we have done a number of things. This morning, I want us to look at prayerfully mapping out our mission, or my mission. And we want to do that so that it expresses our values and our shape, and also our surrender or commitment to the mission that God has for us. Now, if you have a look at that in terms of the outline, we've looked at C, clarifying our mission. O has been outlining our shape, or my shape. Last week we looked at S, the surrendering to the mission that God has for us. And today we're looking at mapping out our mission, prayerfully mapping that out and shaping that. Now, if you haven't worked that out, that is an acrostic of the word cosmos. And we're spending our time just working our way through this in understanding what it is that God has for us uniquely to do. It's kind of like what Sarah was talking about earlier in relationship to the women, of linking those who have something that has been implanted into your hearts by God, linking you together so that you can share in mission and pray out of that. And there's some wonderful creative things that are beginning to take place in the lives of many of us as we seek to apply those things to our lives. Now, Jesus was mission guided. Of that I am sure and certain. He said in his high priestly prayer at the beginning of it in John 17, "I have brought you, Father, glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do." He didn't give the work of Jesus to anyone else. He gave it to Jesus. In Acts 20:24, Paul said, "I only want to complete my mission and finish the work that the Lord Jesus has given me to do." The reality is that if we understand who we are in God, and as we spend time with the Father, and as we reflect in prayer, we have the privilege of gaining an insight and an understanding of what He wants me or us to do. And it's something that is very personal. It's something for which we are individually shaped for. We might work with others in it, but it's something that is very personal. And that's why often a husband and wife, as we jokingly talked about a couple of weeks ago, with the differences of our personality, etc., we might end up being missionally shaped for something that's different. And often we're attracted to people who are opposite to us. But the reality is, at any stage in our life, we can be living this out, but maybe in different dimensions. And I think that will come out as we work this through this morning. So what is a life mission? It's one thing that I just want to clarify very quickly. It's a description of what you believe God wants you to do with your life. That's what we want you to end up with. I want you at the end of this series to have an understanding. Notice we have not talked to any individual and told any individual what they are to do. That's for you to understand. It's for you to work through and to discover in relationship with the Lord. None of us can do that apart from God. And that's why it's a very personal exercise that we're inviting you into here. But we want you to end up with a description of what you believe it is that God wants to do in and through your life. And we've talked a lot about how we fluffed around and often missed what it is that God has been calling us to. Now, why is that important? I want you to understand a couple of things about a life mission. And just five things, very quick dot points. It's more. A life mission is more than a goal. People often confuse an overriding statement like this with goals. Aussies often talk about set goals. But often we're lousy at accomplishing them, let alone a life mission. And you ask somebody, what's your purpose in life? And often people will give you a goal. I want to make $1 million. I want to finish my education. I want to do a number of different things. And those goals, whether it's to buy a house or whatever it might be, whatever we're talking about here, there's nothing wrong with those necessarily, but they're not a life mission. You can have many, many goals, but not have a life mission. Sort of reminds me, you remember the old show Red Faces? It was years ago on TV, and they had all these crazy people coming on. And one night I remember a bloke coming on who spun plates on the end of a stick. You ever remember that? And what I laughed about was when they all crashed. Because he was trying to break some sort of record and he couldn't keep pace, and eventually they all fell off. One guy I saw anyway. But he got to successfully juggling 10 plates. He had 10 plates spinning on these sticks. And then he'd dash back to the first and he'd give that a tweak, and then he had to go through to keep all these plates spinning, and eventually he couldn't keep up and they started crashing down one by one. As I've thought about that, the reality is that often our lives look like that. We have so many roles, we have so many things that we've taken on board, and all we're doing, trying to keep plates spinning without accomplishing a major purpose or a direction for our lives. It's more than a goal, all right? Understand that. Secondly, it defines success for us. It defines success for me. A life mission defines success. And remember I said success about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Success is living by our values. It's living by the things that God has implanted into our hearts that are important for us. More of that in a moment. But success is knowing and understanding what's important to you and living by those values. Third thing is, it's based on God's purpose for me, not God's purpose for someone else. Now, there's some overarching things that are important for all of us. But we're talking about your individual shape, and your life mission is the practical expression of God's purpose for your life. It doesn't come automatically. It comes as we grow and are in a growing relationship with Jesus, and it's a practical expression of that. Fourth thing, it expresses my shape. And this is a bit of review. Why would God give you certain talents, gifts, and abilities and a background and experience and then not use them? Why would God do that? I mean, it does not make logical sense, no matter how we like to look at this. That would be an incredible waste of a person's life. So God has given you spiritual gifts. He's given you a heart for things. He's given you abilities. He's given you a unique personality and blend of personality. And he's given you experiences. And he wants you to use those so that you accomplish his purposes. And you'll have a tremendous sense of fulfillment as you're doing what God has called you to do. The other thing it does is it clarifies your roles in life. And I find this very helpful because you've got to define your roles before you set goals. And in your life mission gives meaning to your roles in the different stages in your life. Through life, you're going to fulfill different roles. When you're a student, it's a role. When you're a single adult and not married, and you have gone into the workforce, you have roles, you have certain, but you can't take away your shape. And so it is going to influence you how you're going to live at that particular point in your life. You get married, suddenly you have a role of a husband or a wife. Then children come along and you have a role of being a mum or a dad. And if that's the reality, the fact is these roles are not your mission. But you will express your mission through those roles, through the things that God has opened up and called you to. You understand? You with me there? Because sometimes we can confuse the two. Your life mission includes your career, but it's greater than your career. And a lot of people make their entire identity based around their job. But your job is included in your life mission, but your life mission is greater than it. Why? Because you're not going to take your career into heaven. But you are going to take your character. You are going to take who you are into heaven. And your job is part of your life mission, but it's more than that. Okay, I want to ask another big question. And this is the one that we want to focus on today as we're talking about mapping out my mission and understanding the cosmic mission that God has for us. And that is, how do I discover my life mission? And very simply, I think that you can do this one of two ways. You can either get it by speculation, or you can get it by revelation. Now, I want to suggest to you, speculation ain't going to work. Speculation is not going to be the way to understand what it is that God has called you to. That's why I'm saying prayerfully map out my vision. In other words, this is something that we've got to do in dependence upon God. And I'll never forget the defining call that the Lord placed on my life. I can take you to the very square centimetre and the rock I was sitting on when it occurred. And it was a moment for me of revelation that has forever altered my life. And my encouragement is that you need to spend time sitting with the Father, sitting with the Lord, and allowing Him to speak into your life in the various issues that we've been talking about. Now, some of these things will unfold over a period of time. In other words, you'll get greater clarity as you go and as you are reflecting with the Lord. But I want to encourage you to enter into this process. We can ask God, God, what on earth have you put me here for? What is my reason for being? What is my personal life mission? And the more you study and read this book, read the scripture, you will understand what it is that God is calling you to. That's why in Ephesians 5:17, Paul says, don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Whatever the Lord wants you to do. And it'll be expressed through who He's uniquely created you to be. Now, please remember, He takes into consideration all our past, our pain, our life's experiences. He uses all of these things because of His sovereignty, and He's able somehow to bring it together to give it sharper focus so that instead of just being like an incandescent globe, we become more like a laser that is able to accomplish far more because of focus than if we're just spread thin. All right? That's God's plan for us. So I want to suggest to you that we ask this week four questions as we map out our mission. And these are the four questions. What or who will be the centre of my life? Some of you say, that's easy. I've already answered that one. Well, that's good if you have. But I'm always aware that every time I share with any group of people, there are those of us here who haven't. Who haven't answered that question. I took an evangelism training class, the first one that I ever took as a result of a conference I'd been a part of in 1980, and I took an evangelism training class, and two people in our evangelism training class came to know Jesus. But they came along to the evangelism class to learn how to share Him. And they didn't even know Him. So I'm going to start very much at base roots, and every week I've said this. We cannot enter into the adventure of understanding what it is that God's vision or mission for our lives if we don't know Him. And if we're not in relationship with Him. So in other words, who or what am I going to live for? As we talked about last week, it's possible to know Jesus but actually live as if you don't know Jesus. Almost like a Christian agnostic. That you have separate lives. And there's a dichotomy there. What am I going to center my life around? That's the starting point. Now, there are a lot of options. You can center your life around your job, your career, your family, your making money, a hobby, sport, collecting these things, collecting things. None of these things necessarily wrong in themselves. It's just that they don't belong in the center. If they're the center, we've got a problem. See, when we become a believer, the center of our lives changes. In fact, that's one of the greatest definitions of being a Christian. I realize that many maybe haven't made that step yet today. Our encouragement is to do so. Now, the truth in relationship to this question of who will be or what will be the center of my life is this. God says that He made me to know and love Him. That's the truth that's at the center of it. Matthew 22:38, Living Bible, that love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Pure and simple. And the second scripture I'd share with here in Proverbs 9 is simply this. Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. You go back to Proverbs 1, a fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom and truth. Who is going to be the center of our life? Who's going to be the center of our focus? Who's going to be the center of our family? Who's going to be the center of all of the roles that I will fulfill in life? It is a very, very important question. The Bible says you will know who you are once you figure out who God is. And we were made to relate to and to love God and to enjoy Him. Friends, I tell you, we cannot get to know Him unless we read all of His counsel. And all of His counsel is from Genesis 1:1 right through to the end of the book of Revelations. We need to get to know Him. That's why the scripture is so fundamental for us. Okay, want to move on to the second question. What will be the character of my life? What will be the character of my life? What am I going to be? What's it going to look like? Who am I going to be? You see, God is far more interested in who you are than what you do. But He has things for us to do, but of a higher priority is who we are. Who we are as individuals. And there could be a half dozen different careers and they'd all be within God's circle for your life, quite possibly. But He's more interested in who you are becoming than what you're doing. Why? Because you're going to take your character and who you are into heaven. You're not going to take your career, as I said. Now, the truth here is simply this. God says He made me to become like Christ. God says He made me, He made you to become like Jesus. Romans 8:28, for from the very beginning God decided that those who came to Him should become like His Son. It's fresh language, isn't it? It's another way of putting to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, as the NIV translates it. He wants us to become like Jesus in our journey in life. Philippians 2:5, a familiar passage. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. That's His ultimate goal. And if God is going to make you like Jesus in your life, then He is going to take you through the same sort of circumstances and situations that Jesus went through. Now think about that for a moment. 6:30 this morning, I was moved to tears. Because I saw myself in Pilate. Cannot believe how that man responded to Jesus. He knew he was innocent. It's recorded there. Knew he was innocent. Tried to wash his hands of the whole affair. hand him over and say, the responsibility's on you. And then this thing whacked me right between the eyes. He handed Jesus over to be whipped before he handed him over to the Jews. Never seen that before. He didn't. His heart hadn't truly been affected by the life of Jesus. Hands him over to be whipped. But he knew he was innocent. What kind of ruler, what kind of governor was he? Then the Lord said, well, hang on a minute. There's lots of ways that we can do similar sorts of things. And it's so important, friends, that we are just open to understanding that this process of becoming like Jesus is something that God takes us through over time. Do you think there was ever a time when Jesus was lonely? Do you think there was ever a time when Jesus was lonely? Have a look at the garden if you don't. Last 2 days' readings. So, if we're going to become like Jesus, do you think it's okay if sometimes we're lonely? And we actually experience what he experienced so that we don't want other people to be lonely? Do you think Jesus knew what it was like to be criticized? Absolutely. Do you think Jesus knew what it was like to be betrayed and to be forsaken? And sometimes to feel like everything's gone. Do you think he knew what it was like to be tempted? Friends, if we're going to become like Jesus, we're going to go through the same sorts of things Jesus went through. And he's going to allow those things to shape our character. And the Bible says that he uses those things to conform us and to actually shape us to becoming more like Jesus. That's why he allows it. That's why he does it. So important that we see this. What was Jesus like? I'll never forget a lecture in the spiritual formation section or spiritual leadership section under Keith Farmer. When Keith just simply took the fruit of the Spirit and began to talk to us about the life of Jesus. He said, you want to know what Jesus looks like? Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Plain and simple. You want to be conformed to Jesus? Love. Joy. Gentleness, meekness, self-control, faith, these things. There's no limitation in these things. And you begin to go through that list and have it unpacked for you and you realise, hey, I've got some growing to do. I've got some growing to do. Situations for each of these will occur in our lives to develop them in our lives and to shape our character. So what will be the character of my life? You see, you cannot define mission and your purposes without shaping your character. You just can't do it. And that's why we talked about the need to clarify values. Now, I'm not saying you've got to do this, but I've got 14 character things that are an outworking or values that are related to my own mission. And it's a very sobering thing for me at any one time to look at that list and to go through them. The way the Lord led me in that is that he actually highlighted for me over a period of time different Bible characters that were the embodiment of each of those characters. So I have a name attached to them. But that's become very helpful to me because I love relating to people. And it helps me. Okay, the third question. What will be the contribution of my life? Now we're starting to come down to the end of what are we going to actually do? What contribution are we going to make? In other words, what am I going to do with my God-given talents? You weren't put here to waste your talents and your abilities. You're here to make a difference with your life. So what sort of contribution are you going to make? Now the truth here that we need to take on board is simply this. God says that he made me to use my shape to help others. God said that he made me to use my shape to help others. Now, we spent a whole week talking about that. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. God's many kinds of blessings. Ephesians 2:10, it is God himself who made us what we are and given us new lives through Jesus Christ and long ago. He planned that we should spend these lives that we have in helping others. See, it starts where we are right now. Your mission, your shape starts to be expressed where God has you right now. When God got a hold of my life, it was a very interesting transition point in my life. I was moving out of, I'd been expelled from Teachers College, had a few months working in a broker's firm for an insurance broker, and then went to work for the immigration department. And it occurred for me in the transition time of going into the immigration department. And I suddenly said, Lord, you called me to do this. Help me to express this. Just help me to be who you're calling me to be in this new place. I want to draw a line in the sand. I am yours, and I'm an immigration officer, but I'm really a disciple of Jesus disguised as an immigration officer. That's who you called me to be. And it was just, for me, amazing to see what God can do when we are just simply available to Him. Even as a teenager, available to Him in a context like that. And to see the way that God would work. And you've heard various stories out of that period in my life. But I hope this week you'll spend some serious time considering this question. What is going to be the contribution of my life? We don't know how long we've got. What is going to be the contribution? For a variety of reasons, I've been really thinking about this more intensely than I have in recent years. Because you see, when you boil it all down, there are only two types of people. There are givers and there are takers. You're either a giver or you are a taker. You live selfishly or you live so unselfishly or selflessly. Abundant giving is the key to abundant living. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give away, by what we invest in other people. And they never build statues to people who all they did was get in life. They build statues to people who spent their lives making a contribution, who understood something of their destiny, something of who they were called to be. Please give some thought to this whole area of what is going to be the contribution of my life. And I've heard over recent weeks a number of you speaking of childhood experiences, of other things. And remember when I talked to you about understanding this, you go back into the decades of your life and you see the way that God was at work long before you ever came to know Him. And you begin to shape down those experiences and you write them out and suddenly the lights go on. I can't explain it to you. I've seen it happen year by year in people's lives as they've understood who God has called them to be. Removes all the competition. We don't have to be like anybody else. We are just us in the context that God has called us to. It's really important that we work on this. Finally this morning, what will be the communication of my life? The communication of my life. What means your life message. You probably have never thought about this. Did you know that God wants to speak to the world through you? It's a reality. I'm not talking about being a minister necessarily, or a paid minister, or an evangelist. I'm saying that God has a message for the world that He can only deliver through your uniqueness. It doesn't matter whether we're in a wheelchair. It doesn't matter whether we're running a corporation. There is a unique ministry that God has for us and people to communicate with that no one else will be able to connect with. See, the truth is God made me to tell others about Him. And He made you to tell other people about Him. That's the truth. It's a plain, simple truth. We are called in the Bible ambassadors. Ambassadors represent. An ambassador represents a king or a government or whatever. And God says, you are an ambassador of Jesus. You represent Jesus. You're a spokesperson for Jesus, for the kingdom of God. That is your calling. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Implore you. Let me put some shape to this, please. It's not that we've got to be like everyone else. We've talked about this. I want to rush through this. For instance, when I mention a cause like abortion and all the babies that have been killed through abortion, some of you, your blood just begins to boil and you feel very deeply and you become involved in that ministry. And we have two or three people in our church who are committed to that passionately. They'll stand in front of abortion clinics and seek to intervene and love the girls who are thinking of that procedure and encouraging them to pray and think about it twice. But others of you think, that's not me. Then some of you have a passion for the environment. God's made us stewards of the environment. You're a real greenie in the genuine sense, in the spiritual sense. And you think that we have a responsibility to steward our society and our world in a better way. Some of you have a passion for sport. Others of you couldn't think of anything worse. But you have a passion and you see that you in that environment can maybe share and minister. Art, business, we can go on. And I can throw these things out. And for some of you, it rings your bells, and the rest of you, it leaves you cold. Here's your homework. I want you to take these four questions related to your mission. Get alone with God. Pray. And then get a scrap of paper, get a pad, get anything, and just write. Just write. Boy, as I've thought about that, have I had some fun. For example, let's just quickly look at the shaping of my life mission statement. Can I just give you some suggestions? Don't try to write it all out in one setting. You don't have to worry. Just blurb it out. Just write. All right? Hard for some of you to do. Why? Let me give you a little personality analysis. Depending on your personality, you're going to approach this project very, very differently. For instance, if you're sanguine, you're probably going to sit down and start saying, there are so many things I want to do with my life. I want to do this, 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 and this. And you'll fill up 10 pages in one sitting. If you're a choleric, your tendency might be to say, I already know what my life mission is. My mind is made up, and now I'm going to convince everybody else they've got to do it too. Or if you're melancholic, you're probably already thinking, this is going to take me so long. There's so much for me to think about. All the parts. I want to know the perfect will of God. And I've just got to be very, very careful. It's going to take me forever. And you're not going to want to even start because it's such a big project to take on. You're going to agonize over every jot and tittle. If you're phlegmatic, you might say, hey, anything's okay with me. God, let's go. They're broad descriptions of our life. We are so different. And we're a blend of all of these particular four types and whatever other personality analysis you use. The third thing I'd say there, base each segment on a supporting scripture, on a principle that comes out of scripture. That's as you write it out. Why am I encouraging you to do this? Very quickly, friends, it forces you to think about your life. Writing things down helps you to become specific and focused, and it will give you a standard by which to evaluate decisions. It'll help you say yes to some things, and it'll help you say no to an awful lot of others without any guilt because you weren't wired to do it. It helps us. I want to suggest as you write out your life mission, you just keep 2 Corinthians 10, really 10 through 13, read the whole lot. New Century Version is interesting. It just says our goal is to measure up to God's plan for us. Make that the goal. Do what God's planned for you. Live that out. Years ago, Stephen Jobs, who founded Apple Computer, went to recruit John Sculley. John Sculley, who was at that time president of Pepsi, and he wanted Sculley to come and be president of Apple Computer. And he tried and tried and tried and was having a hard time convincing this man to cross over because he'd been so successful with Pepsi, he wanted him to come and work for Apple. Sculley kept saying, not interested, but why would I leave Pepsi and go to be president of Apple? Finally, Jobs looked at him Macintosh had just come out and it was innovating and the first to be really user-friendly, got the jump on the market. And he said, "Listen, Scully, do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water or do you want to change the world?" And he made the switch. I say to you this morning, do you want to spend the rest of your life just aimlessly wandering around, living out the world's values that we've been talking about? Or do you want to accomplish God's mission uniquely shaped around you? Doesn't matter what decade of our life we're in. This is relevant. This is very, very helpful for us. Let's pray. We close. Father, I just want to thank you for the privilege that we've had of sharing together today. Thank you for some of the great missional and fellowship opportunities that we've been able to talk about. But thank you too that we've continued in our theme that is so important for us as individuals. And I pray this week that you would so move in our lives that we would make the time to spend some time looking at how you've uniquely shaped us, reflecting on our past, just looking and clarifying our values and outlining our shape and coming to a place of real surrender to, yes, I am prepared to map out my mission. And Lord, I thank you that what will result from that is something that's very, very liberating, very, very powerful. And Lord, I would ask this morning, just as Rod prayed for us in relationship to people who were outside of Jesus, and Lord, I thank you for the people you put on our hearts in that time this morning. I thank you that your desire is to, through us, help us be communicators of your love and your life. And I thank you that as we wait on you, you will bring some clarity into this. This is so important. Lord, forgive us when we've been telling you what we want to do with our lives. Bring us to a fresh place of where we're just open before you with open hands, a blank page, and we're saying, "Father, what is it that you want to do through my life, not what I want to do for you? Who have you uniquely shaped me to be?" And Father, I with joy anticipate what's going to happen for each of us as we recalibrate the things we're doing and the ministries that we will have in our current situations and beyond into the future. Speak to us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.